This is the Ethanol Report. I'm speaking with Robert White of the Renewable Fuels Association, and we're going to talk a little bit about the blend wall and some other issues. But where are we at as far as that's concerned, Robert?
Well, concern is a good word, because that is definitely what everyone is talking about. The blend wall is essentially where the 10% option runs out. And while the overall concentration at 10% is, you know, in today's usage, somewhere around 139 overall billion gallons, and so the 10% level would be somewhere around 13, maybe 14 billion gallons of ethanol. But the reality is, you're not going to have ethanol everywhere, whether it's geographic or other issues. And of course, there's some that just won't use our product no matter what happens. And so we have to look at the mid-level blends. We have to look at E12, E15. The intermediate blends, if you will, along with E85. And so a lot of the efforts of our market development team is centered around blender pumps. They give the retailers and the petroleum marketers great opportunities, because now they can use regular unleaded and denatured ethanol or E85, blend their own products right there at the station. They don't need bulk terminal facilities. They might be able to cut at least one middleman or perhaps two out of the scenario. And we've proven time and time again that the savings are significant. These folks are leaving a lot of money on the table that has perhaps discouraged them in the past from being part of or jumping into the ethanol business anyway. But times are tough, and so they're looking at how can we increase volumes and how can we increase margins on those volumes. And to be honest, they don't care if it's chocolate milk, maple syrup, or gasoline or ethanol. And so we're showing them the light at the end of the tunnel through some of the madness in the economy. We've lost a lot of gas stations this last year because of the economic times of our country. And we're trying to show them ways that they can spring back, differentiate themselves, and prepare for the future.
Well, the blender pump campaign that was introduced last year by RFA and ACE and also the National Corn Growers, I guess it's been, what, about 6-8 months that you've been doing this?
Yeah, we officially launched it at the ACE Conference in Milwaukee in August. And, you know, the overall goal was 5,000 pumps in 3 years, so some are breaking that down by 36 months. But reality is it takes a little while to get that information out there. We are, in a sense, fighting decades of misinformation against our product and continued misinformation against our product. And we're trying to hit it at all levels. So we're working with all the national associations for the gasoline marketers and the retailers, along with taking it all the way down to the bottom level. So they're getting information from every which way possible, including advertising and publications. We're scheduled to be at 23 different trade show and events this year. We're making sure that the information is available to them, because we have seen several times already that if they get down into the details and they figure out what we're talking about, it's almost an instant sell.
No-brainers, as they say, right?
That's right.
Well, now, one of the things that would help tremendously also is the waiver, if EPA would grant the waiver for E15. When are we going to hear about that? What is the status of that at this point?
Well, obviously a delay was a little bit of a surprise, but not a total surprise, because statute said they had to make a decision, but that was delayed, obviously, as we all know. And then there was another hurdle of 2001 and newer vehicles was all that was being considered. My personal opinion is that the data is not perhaps available for the older vehicles, and so no research has been done, and so there's no data to back up against. But I think that at a minimum, we're going to have something in the E12 range, hopefully something in the E15 range. But it is important to note that that is just a Band-Aid, if you will. We need to continue efforts at much higher levels, because in the long run, it's going to catch 5% is not going to get us where we need. We have 36 billion gallons of renewables that have to be in our fuel system by 2022, and it's going to take a lot of work.
What else can we do you're doing as much as you can, it seems like, but what else can you do to get more pumps out there? If we get more flex fuel vehicles on the road, that's really key to using more ethanol, right?
Yeah, and it used to be the chicken and the egg, and thanks to the automakers, they've really got the egg out in front of the chicken now, and the vehicles are coming off at a good rate. Part of what General Motors is stressing is they have a business case themselves, and so if we cannot step up the amount of stations, then they have to revisit their expectations at 50% of flex fuel vehicles by 2012. And Ford and Chrysler and some of the others have made similar commitments. But the reality is we need consistent and perhaps deeper pockets to help us out. And most of the time, that's going to be the federal government. You saw last year, almost $300 million were given out for alternative fuels projects. There was less than 60 E85 stations funded, less than $11 million. We just need everything to come together. We have a very perfect storm in the petroleum sector. They're changing out equipment. There's updates in the payment card industry. There is obviously a lot of talk around these fuels, so it's almost a perfect storm, but there are still financial considerations that have to be made, especially outside the Midwest where we don't have some of these local and even state incentives, and the federal government has to be there to support, and we hope that the state legislatures will consider that as well.
Well, let's talk about something different in the market development area. You reached out to motorcycle enthusiasts last year at the Sturgis event, which is held up in South Dakota. Just give me a little rundown again about what you did there and how you reached out to the motorcycle enthusiasts, and what was your goal there?
Well, we have to look for opportunities where we have masses together. And the bang for the buck, if you will, because funds are obviously limited in our industry, unlike our competitors and naysayers, it seems. So we looked at the annual Sturgis bike rally that's up in the Black Hills in South Dakota, and we saw that roughly 500,000 bikers dive into a town of 6,200 annually, and they express their love and personal pride for motorcycles and for the open air through your hair, if you will. Now we know why dogs hang their heads out their windows, but the reality was they were all in a very confined space, and so we partnered with the Buffalo Chip, and the reality is while all of them are likely using ethanol because they drove through South Dakota to get there, they all have to return home to their lawnmowers, to their trucks, their SUVs, snowmobiles, whatever the other toys they have in their garage might be. But that was what we were really focusing on. So they understood that they were using ethanol while they were in the Black Hills. They understood the benefits of this domestic product. So we wanted them to ride with pride, but also fuel with pride. And it was a great success. They got a lot of recognition across the country from those in the ethanol industry that thought, why would the ethanol industry ever be at Sturgis? But we had a great partnership out there that made it a success.
And that campaign, if you will, by itself has earned you a little bit of a recognition from the National Agri-Marketing Association, right?
Yeah, and that's a pretty good feat for us in our first year, simply because the RFA has never received a marketing award. The award was for the Sturgis design of the T-shirt. The Flex Fuel Challenge, E85Challenge.com website, also won one. And then we had the initial BYO advertising ad won that as well. So we're hopeful we can take home a national award. But obviously that sends a good message out to our membership and to the rest of the industry that we are making big strides.
And it is a little bit different for RFA to get into this market development and promotion area, if you will, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, October 2008, I guess, is when I came on board and essentially started the effort. We have a total of four folks in the Omaha office that work on market development efforts, and it's been a big year. We had an obvious change with, starting to blend your own program with ACE. I mean, that's a great partnership within our industry. We received a $1.6 million grant from the Department of Energy for education and outreach, and our goal is to have the best bang for the buck for the industry, but also rob from other sources, if you will, or borrow, perhaps is a better word. But the reality is we want to make sure that the industry understands the impact. I like to say about the RFA that the rest of the RFA is baking a cake, and you can eat the cake, but we're the icing, and we'll make it taste a little bit better, and we'll make it everything a little bit sweeter. We see that on a daily basis as we reach out to consumers, as we reach out to petroleum marketers. We're making sure that when they want information, they can find it.
And that's the Ethanol Report. I'm Cindy Zimmerman reporting.